This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joy podcast from LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more information and tons of other podcasts, head to joy.org.au.
So now we've got in the studio our next guest with us. We've got Natalie King, who is a, well, curated, not one, but two biennales in Venice, just come back from Venice with the New Zealand stand this time. Welcome to the show, Natalie.
Hi, Neil. Hi, David. Hello. It's fantastic to be on the program again.
Well, I can remember it was probably 3 or 4 years ago that you were in our Bourke Street and you were talking about doing this, but it was very early stages of it. That the fact is that it was the New Zealand Pavilion at the Venice Biennale. You're a Melbourne girl. And the person that had the the artist is from.
So she is from Samoa, and her name is Yuki Kihara. Uh-huh. And Yuki is the first Fafafina, which is third gender artist to be selected by New Zealand. And
so they're under New Zealand in that respect for the arts, is that
well,
right?
Well, Yuki has dual citizenship of New Zealand and Samoa. Okay.
Yep.
And Samoa was formerly a colony of New Zealand, which is something that she looks at, decolonisation.
Right. Okay. And you virtually approached her and said, I've got this idea, and she said no. But you didn't give up on it, and it finally happened at Venice Biennale.
David, you've got an excellent memory. So it was, in fact, 3 years ago. In 2019, the New Zealand government put out an open call for a curator and artist duo to apply for the Venice Biennale. And I had previously curated Tracy Moffat in 2017.
That's right. Yep.
For the Australian Pavilion. She was the first solo presentation by an Aboriginal artist, and then New Zealand put out an open call. So I had been looking at Yuki Kihara's work for some time. I knew that she had had a solo acquisitive exhibition at the Met in New York.
Whoa.
In 2008.
Yeah.
She had exhibited in a number of biennales, including Bangkok, Honolulu, Sakhalin in Canada, and I saw her work at the Asia Pacific Triennial. And I have to confess, I had longed to work with her ever since. So I reached out to her on social media, and she did in fact reject me. And with some persistence,
yeah,
I convinced her. The reason why she was reticent is that she had got close to submitting applications previously, but had never actually submitted. So she was apprehensive.
Yep.
But once we started speaking, we realized that we had a strong rapport, that we were quite a formidable duo, and we prepared our application. And 3 years later, I've just returned from Venice early Wednesday morning, and we were able to deliver the New Zealand Pavilion in a prime location in the Arsenale for the Venice Biennale.
Right. Now, Natalie, I've just got to ask you, because I've been following you on social media through this wonderful journey that you've obviously just been on. What is it like to go to the Venice Biennale? Because it must be extraordinary.
Well, it's exhilarating. It's the peak visual arts event in the world and the oldest. It started in 1895 in the lagoon city of Venice, and up to 90 countries participate across the entire cities, from palazzos to warehouses to off-site venues. So there's a real sense of celebration, and I think in the context of COVID, it was a thrill to actually travel again.
Yeah.
It's been so long, and following on from 2 years and thousands of Zooms, the Venice Biennale was postponed a year, which in some ways gave us more time to prepare. And Yuki's exhibition is called Paradise Camp.
Yep.
So it's very camp.
Right.
And it's very joyful.
and how was it, was it accepted well?
Well, interestingly, you never really know.
Yeah.
But we had an avalanche of media coverage. We're in Time magazine,
whoa,
the art newspaper, CNN. Tilda Swinton came in and hugged Yuki. She was so moved by the work.
Wow.
Because what Yuki has produced is a new series of photographs that repurpose and upcycle paintings by Paul Gauguin, but yes, they're cast with her own Farfafina community.
Fantastic. So
it's a very daring reclamation. And they're in dazzling colours of very vivid greens and oranges and Polynesian colours.
Yeah.
They're shot across plantations, waterfalls, beaches. And we installed floor-to-ceiling wallpaper in the pavilion as well.
I noticed that in one of your shots. It looked quite spectacular.
Yes, because I think the spectacle is important in Venice. People come through very quickly. We were getting up to 4,000 people through a day.
Whoa.
So the footfall is strong.
Yeah.
And it's just it is really a joy to have audiences being receptive to, you know, a queer Polynesian artist from the Pacific telling her story from her own community, from her own perspective, receiving such strong attention in Venice because her work was really set apart. And the wallpaper, there are two wallpapers. One is a Siapo pattern, which is a traditional Samoan textile, and the other is an oceanscape.
That's
so
right.
It was very much like you're walking into paradise.
Mm.
But the ocean is also a complex place in Samoa because it's the site of environmental crises and sea level rising. So the oceanscape that we've depicted, while it looks like paradise, it's in actual fact the place where there's been decimation. There was a tsunami there in 2009. And many of the third gender or Farfafina community are carers, and they're on the front line of the tsunami, pulling people out of the debris. But in fact, their needs weren't met. There weren't all gender bathrooms. They're often cut out of climate risk management protocols. So this is a real way to highlight the needs of the Farfafina community and what Yuki calls a, you know, third gender utopia.
Mm. And how did she react to it? What was her feeling after this long journey and as the artist? How did she feel?
Well, my sense is that she's elated. I think neither of us expected the amount of media coverage.
Mm.
It was extremely intense. We were just doing back-to-back, you know, we were doing radio with Iceland and New Zealand, and then German TV came and made a documentary on her, and she was walking down the Grand Canal as a catwalk. So she's very funny, she's very sassy, and she's very smart. So she was enormously capable at handling the media.
And you're like, has it finished or is it still running?
So it's just begun.
Right.
And Venice has a very long cycle. So it's on until the 27th of November.
Wow. So if anyone's travelling in the next few months and they're going to be in that neck of the woods, go.
Please, please come and visit our pavilion, the Arsenale. Mm. And what's interesting about this Venice is that there are there's a very high proportion of women showing for the first time.
Excellent.
The large curated exhibition is curated by Cecilia Alemani. It's the first time a female Italian woman has been selected.
Oh, okay.
So, and many of the artists in her exhibition are either women or gender non-conforming. So it's a real trailblazing time to be at the Venice Biennale, and I think this is absolutely the right moment for Yuki and her practice.
Yeah, fantastic. Oh, look, I just think it's amazing that you made this happen, and it happened, and it's been a huge success for you. So congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, there were times when we were apprehensive and, you know, there were risk management assessments going on by the government. We didn't know if we could travel. I mean, it's been a tough few years, but we were determined, and I just gave you a copy of our beautiful book.
Yeah.
So we made a lovely publication that's in La Biennale Bookstore. You can get it on Booktopia and with Thames and Hudson. So we have a publication that we're very proud of and a poster and all this media coverage, which will be ongoing, I anticipate.
And I think that people should follow you on Instagram so that they can see a lot of what you were doing while you were in Venice as well. And then that will give people a link to work out and have a look at the exhibition as well. Can you see it online?
Yes. Yeah, so like many pavilions, we produced quite a lot of digital assets, okay. knowing that we were uncertain whether audiences from the Global South and the Pacific and Australia would be able to attend. Yeah. So at New Zealand at Venice.com, you can have a look at installation shots and also small films that Yuki made where she discusses her work. And also follow me on Instagram, NatalieKing_curator. I've got my daughter here for Mother's Day and she set up my Instagram account. So thank you, Lily.
Well, again, congratulations. You've come back. You're linked with Melbourne Uni. When do you go back to work? Is it?
Well, I still feel like I'm levitating and still feel like I'm, walking through piazzas in Venice. It's incredibly buoyant in Europe. I was surprised given the, I guess it still feels melancholic here, but Europe is really buoyant was my sense. But actually, next Sunday, I'm going to Abu Dhabi to speak at a cultural leaders conference. So I'm going on another short trip.
Yep.
And then I'll be back in beautiful Melbourne for winter.
Well, can't wait to see the next major event you get yourself involved in. And, of course, you'll come on Sunday Arts Magazine and chat about it.
I would love to. Thank you, David and Neil.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Natalie King here on Joy 94.9, Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community radio station, Joy 94.9. For more podcasts or to support Joy by becoming a member, donating or subscribing, head to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation. Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.